The markets. We just can't get enough of them.
Markets are the drivers of your wealth and investment strategy.
Welcome to Magic Markets with your co-hosts, the Finance Ghost and Mohammed Nallah.
Together, we have more than 25 years of combined experience in the markets.
For those looking to take their market and business knowledge to the next level, we offer Magic Markets Premium, a research report and podcast library that nearly has 100 reports in it and a new one every week, all available for just 99 Rand a month. Recent reports have included the likes of Kroger, Deere & Co., Foot Locker, McDonald's, UPS, Apple, Meta, Johnson & Johnson and Swatch. With broad variety and deep research, this is perfect for anyone looking to go to the next level. We invite you to join us in Magic Markets Premium. Go to magic-markets.com to subscribe. Welcome to episode 169 of the Magic Markets podcast. I sometimes listen to that and can't believe how many times we've done this, man. We really do enjoy doing it. And we always look at such interesting stuff. And certainly this week will be no exception for our fans of offshore stocks, which is certainly where a lot of my interest lies these days. And I think a lot of your interest as well, Mo. And this week I've covered Accenture, you've covered FactSet, and I think we're going to have a fun chat covering both those companies.
Indeed, Ghost. I mean, both of those are companies that have put out numbers recently. And, you know, certainly on the FactSet side, we saw a massive disappointment. We saw that stock react sharply to the downside. So we want to unpack why that's happened. But again, to highlight, these are stocks that we've covered in detail in Magic Markets Premium. And it's just so important for people to actually do their own research, but then also to go back and have a look at what's changing, how's the market evolving. And then to your point, Ghost, the investment universe outside of South Africa is just so rich. We've covered very interestingly this week a high dividend yielding stock called Emera, not to be confused with Emira, which is a REIT in South Africa. Emera is a utility. And again, it highlights why you can't just look at a dividend screen and say, hey, this is a great stock or this is not a great stock. Detailed research is certainly interesting. I'm keen to hear what you've got to say about Accenture. So I'm going to let you go first, and then I'll jump into FactSet after that.
Yeah, so I must say I recently bought the Accenture dip. It's a nice pandemic terminology for you. Look, I've held Accenture basically since the pandemic, actually. And the stock price had a pretty bad time in reaction to recent earnings. So I took advantage of that. So my average in price is now $286. Current share price is around $340. I would remind you that's dollars, not rand. So when you're getting returns like that in dear old dollars, it looks really delicious in rands. And I wish I'd bought more, obviously, in the depths of the pandemic. Hindsight is always perfect. Now, traders will typically tell you that averaging up on your in price is a very horrible trading strategy, but this is not a trading position for me. It's a long and, in fact, very long-term play, and I wanted a higher allocation to it in my portfolio. So the recent wobbly in the share price I felt was a good opportunity to go and increase my allocation. And just how big was that dip? Well, the share price fell from $380 to around $330 in a matter of a week. So that's a pretty serious drawdown, sort of over 12% roughly. Now, we do know that drawdowns of 30% plus are where you kind of see things happen in a proper crash scenario. But this was not a crash. This was just a growth wobbly. Can it go lower from here? Well, of course it can, right? Especially when you're trading on a PE of like 30 times. And if it does, I will happily buy more, because the long thesis for me here is based on the way we explained Accenture when we covered the stock in Magic Markets Premium. Basically, Accenture is like the architect of a technology house for corporates. Accenture is a tech agnostic business, so they're not like tied to Azure or to AWS or anything else really. And they just help corporates understand the technology landscape and then design what they need accordingly. So yes, their model has certainly historically and still to a large extent is a management consultancy at its core and is quite heavily based on charging hours, but they have increasingly moved into a more product-based model as well, and that's good for margins. Consulting is around 52% of revenue, managed services around 48%, so pretty even split there. And aside from the service offering, I think the best part of the bull case for Accenture is the way in which that company just becomes entrenched in its organizations that it services, in its clients. Companies find it difficult to work consultants out once they get in. It's like Hotel California, you know, you just cannot leave. And the consultants are sometimes the only ones who actually know how things work, to be completely honest. So yes, growth rates and demand for services may rise and fall, of course. But the fact is there's a very strong underpin here as Accenture is just so involved in the very fabric of how its clients operate. And that, I think, is why the price earnings multiple does tend to be structurally high for this stock. There's actually quite a strong defensive underpin to the earnings.
I mean, that's fascinating. I remember when we covered Accenture, I wasn't actually very familiar with the underlying workings of the company. So that research is certainly interesting. And if you're a premium subscriber, go and check it out. I think the report's still relevant. I'm going to jump into FactSet here. Now, this is also a stock that we covered in Magic Markets Premium. It was all the way back in January 2023. And I like to go and have a look at those reports and say, look, were we actually on point or weren't we on point? Now, back then, the stock was trading around $410. And we had cited what we thought was a very demanding valuation. We thought it was expensive on a number of metrics. And technically, when we had a look at it, it was still in a bull trend, but was then consolidating. So it was consolidating within that bull trend and was waiting for a breakout. Now, remember, breakouts can happen either to the upside or to the downside. It then continued consolidating post our report. And the breakout came all the way back in December. So that's this December that's just passed. And that breakout is now being tested. So it broke out higher. It's now being tested from above. But that breakout, importantly, failed at what was our resistance two level, which was in line with the all-time highs. So in aggregate, wrapping that all up, the stock is around 7 to 8% higher than it was when we covered it back in January 2023. That's around a year and a quarter. Not an exciting performance. On the latest results, it gapped down 11%, and I'm going to unpack exactly why just very quickly before I wrap up this initial section. For those of you that still don't know what FactSet does, or maybe you missed our original report if you're a premium subscriber, if you're in financial markets, you'll be familiar with FactSet. If you're not in financial markets, FactSet is a company that provides data, financial information, analytical applications, and they're really one of those competitors to the likes of a Bloomberg. You know, or they're competitor to a Reuters icon. And that's where they come in. They service investment banking clients, wealth management, asset management clients. And it's really around the underlying data, research and development, and plugging that into a sales and trading environment. So that's the business that we're talking about. In my next points, I'm going to unpack the financial performance goals.
So at Accenture, the AI boom is obviously a massive opportunity, right? I mean, these are the guys that are sitting there designing the tech stack that businesses are using and how they respond to trends. Well, there's no bigger trend than artificial intelligence right now, is there? So not only do they get to actually advise on generative AI strategies in general, but there's a big knock-on impact on things like cloud investment and just digitalization of corporates, big data, all of those buzzwords, Accenture's sitting right there. So second quarter results are now available. And in those results, Accenture confirmed that they've achieved $1.1 billion in generative AI sales in the first half of the fiscal year. It's a lot of money. They are now up to 53,000 skilled data and AI practitioners out of basically nowhere, right? I mean, yes, they've had data people for a while, but over 53,000 people. That's a huge business just in that. And we're talking about a business that has, I think it's over 700,000 staff worldwide. It's a vast organization. They can basically pull a few levers and suddenly they have north of 50,000 people working on the big focus area for corporates. And they do this through acquisitions and organic growth, which brings me to another very important part of my bull case here for Accenture. And that is that the company is able to spot the trends and invest accordingly. And the reason they can spot the trends is because they are working with the trends all the time. So they can see where corporates need more help on certain elements of their tech, or where corporates are actually saying, hey, Accenture, can you help us with this? Can you do this? If not, why not? This is much the same reason why I hold Microsoft shares, right? I don't need to be an expert in what the up and coming areas of growth actually are. I just need to back the right management teams to spot the gaps and close them. So if you can, you know, imagine these organizations as elaborate Lego structures, it's pretty easy to understand what a bolt-on acquisition is. It's just another Lego structure that connects seamlessly, benefiting from the broader brand and organization. And this is how Accenture works as well. They are big on bolt-on acquisitions. And that's how they also manage to just grow so quickly into whatever the hot new thing is. And that hot new thing, that shiny new toy right now, is definitely AI.
I'm so glad you touched on the AI point, because that's where I want to start off my second point before I even jump into the numbers. Because FactSet, I mean, we know all these companies are talking about AI. If you go and have a look at how often AI is cited on earnings transcripts, you can actually find that information, ironically, from FactSet. Now, they are focusing on AI, notably generative AI, to help enhance their platform and services for clients. And they've really doubled down on this, and they're optimistic about the future. Now, what does this look like? You know, they highlight, for example, a tool that they've developed, which is called their Transcript Assistant. And this is really aimed at it's a Gen AI powered chatbot. It's aimed at accelerating people who research and analyze these earnings transcripts. It's giving them a tool to try and build whatever filters they require, find that information faster. But the point I want to touch on here is that if you look at Accenture and what you just described in terms of Accenture helping design a company's tech stack, I could almost see Accenture coming into the likes of a FactSet and advising them in terms of where they can build out some of their AI capabilities and how they would go about doing that. So again, it's interesting to just say, where in that value chain, the AI buzzword value chain, do you want to play? I'm going to leave it there when we talk about AI. I'm going to jump into the actual numbers now, because we had the second quarter fiscal 2024 numbers come out just over the course of the last 2 weeks. And interestingly enough, I mean, revenue growth coming through pedestrian, it grew at around 6%. Now, importantly, this was a deceleration from 7.4% in the preceding quarter. So that was the one thing that maybe concerned the market a little bit. If we have a look at the subscription business, the subscription side of the business, that actually growing at 5.4% versus 7.1% in the preceding quarter. Now, this is important because remember, a lot of FactSet's business has been transitioning towards this annual subscription value growth. And seeing that deceleration is quite concerning. If we superimpose on that, the fact that management's guidance on this expects it to slow further in the upcoming quarter before seeing an uptick in the fourth quarter of this year, I think that really guiding for what is a very pedestrian outlook on the stock from an earnings growth perspective. If we have a look at some of the other metrics here, again, margins have been largely sustained. So it's really about that top line pressure. And again, does that make sense based on where we are in the market? We know that a lot of financial services firms are actually rationalizing where they're spending their money, certainly as things get a lot more competitive, that filtering down the value chain in terms of hitting FactSet as a data provider in what is a very, very competitive market.
Speaking of competitive markets and growth slowdowns and everything else, I now, of course, get to the bad news for Accenture. So despite the strategic strength and just how great this overall business actually is, it doesn't make them immune to macroeconomic slowdowns. So they refer to it in their earnings transcript as another turn of the dial on constrained spending by clients, which is a very nice way to say, you know, people don't have money to spend with us. And that is, of course, what has caused the knock to the share price. Now, in particular, they've highlighted that clients are actually prioritizing the sort of large-scale transformations that convert to revenue more slowly, and they've pulled back on their discretionary spending on smaller projects. So in other words, interest rates have bitten hard and companies now need to be more cautious. They need to focus on the really big stuff. They can't just take a chance on smaller projects and see what happens. Now, this is why adjusted earnings per share at Accenture only grew by 3% in the latest quarter. When you're trading on a price earnings multiple of like 30 times, you can't be growing at 3% forever without your share price coming down hard. And the point here is that 3% is not the perpetual growth rate, at least certainly not in my view, and that's why I hold the stock here. Yes, we are in a slowdown, but what does that really mean for Accenture? What can they do? Well, they are the gorilla in the room, right? Now, this is why adjusted earnings per share only grew by 3% in the latest quarter. Now, on a big price earnings multiple, like say 30 times, like it currently is, that's very worrying. You can't be growing at 3% forever on a multiple like that without the share price really unwinding. But the good news, at least in my view, is that 3% is not the perpetual growth rate. We are in a slowdown here. And what does that actually mean for Accenture? You know, is it all bad news? Because they are the gorilla in the room, they can do things like invest in training so they can upskill the staff who are sitting there with lower utilization rates. They can actually use that time to just keep growing their staff, right? And just making these people more valuable and to retain them as well, to encourage them to stick around. They can make strategic acquisitions and perhaps they can pay less than they used to, because I can promise you that a lower growth rate for Accenture means a lower growth rate pretty much across the industry. They've invested, wait for it, $2.9 billion in acquisitions with 23 transactions in the past 6 months. How's that for bolt-on acquisitions? That's like Lego, but you know, on fast mode. It's an incredible rate of growth. The inorganic contribution to full year revenue is 3%, and revenue growth overall will be 1% to 3%. So just be aware, they would have gone basically nowhere if they hadn't gone and done the acquisition. So, you know, it's not exciting that they went and bought revenue. You know, that's not the point here. It's not like, oh, thank goodness it's 3%. They went and bought all of that growth. The point is, what are they setting up for the future here? I would encourage you to show me how many businesses are flat or slightly down versus such a strong base at a time of economic slowdown. And on top of that, adjusted earnings per share will be 3% to 5% higher. So Yes, be nervous of adjusted earnings per share, sure, and we always encourage that. But the point here is there's margin uplift. This continues to be their expectation. And this is what happens when you go from billing hours through to billing more product and higher value-based services. Accenture is a business that is going to make, in theory, according to them at least, free cash flow of $8.7 billion to $9.3 billion for the full year. That is a lot of money, and they are happy to put a lot of it into bolt-on acquisitions. So if ever there was a business that I think can respond to a slowdown by building an even better version of itself for the future, it's Accenture.
Yeah, Ghost, I mean, that's the classic dilemma in terms of a strong business. Are you paying the right price for it or not? And again, that's really the question that we're trying to ask with regards to FactSet. So I'm going to jump into a couple of additional metrics before I wrap up with how the stock's performed. And the first very interesting point here is that this is a company that has a history of raising its dividend for 25 consecutive years. Guess what? That sounds very impressive. But Ghost, we've outlined on our premium podcast and show just how companies can do this, is that you just go extra conservative on your dividend payout ratio, and then that gives you the flexibility to play around with that dividend, to grow it. You set a number, you grow that consistently over a period of time, and that's what pops onto investors' radars. So their payout ratio currently down at 31%. They're not paying out a heck of a lot of dividends at FactSet. And that's why you can actually raise that dividend consecutively for 25 years. Yes, it makes a catchy headline, but it doesn't quite hit the mark. What does the dividend yield look like at the current price? Well, it's just under 1%. So this is not popping on my radar as a dividend play. Does it pop on my radar as a value play? Well, having a look at something simple like a price to earnings ratio shows you a ratio in the mid 30s. So this company is not cheap. If you have a look at other multiples like a price to book value, that comes through at around 9x. So this business is valued at a premium. And my concern is based on the kind of growth numbers they've given us in the last several quarters, as well as their guidance, this does not justify the extended multiple in my view. But don't take my word for it. Let's look at what insiders are doing. Again, that is something that we look at regularly in our premium report. So if you aren't a subscriber, go and check that out. I'm going to touch on one key point simply because this is fresh. It's hot off the press. Just yesterday, the CEO of FactSet went and sold down 3,000 shares. Now, it's not a heck of a lot of money. It comes through at around $1.5 million, but it's part of a share grant and option exercise dated back in September last year. So I'm not going to take it as a terrible read on the stock. Yes, he had exercised his options in September and decided back then that on the anniversary date, which just happened to be the 1st of April yesterday, on the anniversary date, he would sell those shares. Still, I like to think of it as a sale is a sale. If we have a look at the CEO's net holdings, he still holds around 13,000 shares. So if you take 3,000 as a sale on a base of 13,000, I would say that's a reasonable chunk. And it doesn't get a good look from me. So let's have a look at what the share price has done over the course of the last year. And importantly here, again, this company goes up against players like Icon that was in Reuters. I think it's been bought by the London Stock Exchange. So let's look at how this has performed against the London Stock Exchange. Then let's look at how it's performed against the likes of the JSE. So we'll do a South African comparison as well. How's it done versus the JSE in dollar terms? So let's be careful here. And then let's look at a big competitor like S&P Global. So over the last year, Ghost, do you want to hazard a guess of those four, who's coming out top of the pops? Just for fun.
I strongly doubt it's the South African option, even if you adjust. I mean, even if you didn't adjust for the currency, I somehow doubt it. So I'll go with one of the internationals.
So I'll let you have it. It is definitely one of the internationals. So in fact, if you take the JSE, that over the last year has been the laggard. That's been the underperformer, down 14% in dollar terms. Comparing to the London Stock Exchange, up 24%, S&P Global up 23%, and then FactSet coming through at a dismal 7.5%. So it hasn't been a great year. That 7.5%, remarkably in line with what you seek in terms of the earnings and the revenue growth numbers that we had discussed earlier. So let's zoom out and let's look at this over 5 years. And again, Ghost, no prizes for guessing that the JSE has been the dismal player of those four over 5 years, down a whopping. What, do you want to put a number on it? Put a number on it. We know it's the worst. Put a number on it.
Look, what I will tell you is before you give me the number, the total return will look slightly better than whatever that is because it's very much a high dividend yield stock, but I'm sure it's still not great.
So you're right. We're just looking at price here and it's price in dollar terms, down 53% over that time period.
Yeah, dividend's not going to save that.
Dividend's not going to save that, right? Versus S&P Global up 99%. The London Stock Exchange coming through third place again, 85%. And then FactSet, again, a dismal but not too distant in this time period, a dismal 77% positive. I'll take 77 positive over 50 negative any day.
No, I was going to say the word dismal is working very hard there.
Well, it is. And again, this highlights the point I want to land on, is that even in the underperformer in its relative sector amongst its competitors, it's massively outperformed the South African alternative. And this is why it's so vital for South African investors to broaden their horizons, to consider the global options, is that you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't even have to get your pick within a sector, right? You just have to be able to venture out there, do some of your own research, and obviously subscribe to Magic Markets Premium. That's my last shameless plug, Ghost. I'm going to stop there.
Yeah, look, I think that is why we look at the international stuff, right? It's because generally speaking, it's just a little bit more exciting, dare I say it. And Accenture is core to my portfolio. I plan to hold that thing pretty much forever. And, you know, I would really not be sad if there was another big drawdown on it, because I would buy more. I definitely would buy more. And let's see what happens over the next sort of 10 years. But, you know, in the digital age, why would you not want to own the digital architect? That's my thesis.
Yeah, look, I unfortunately missed out on Accenture. I didn't get in on the dip. I mean, you really have to ping me every time you see that dip, because I haven't been watching it closely enough. That's my own fault, right?
No, because then it'll break. No, as soon as I phone you and say, hey, have you seen Accenture? I know it will go another 20% down. You and I both know this.
Yeah, so I'm still concerned around the valuations. I think, you know, those kind of valuations, there are probably more compelling places in the market for me to put the money. I'm staying away from FactSet because, yes, it's pull back. It has a breakout. It's testing it from above, but I don't like the underlying metrics. And so I'm going to sit that one out as well. Between the two, I would probably say Accenture over FactSet for me as well, Ghost. But what do you think as our listeners? Let us know. Hit us up on social media, because that's where we've got to leave it this week. It's at Magic Markets Pod, one word, at Finance Ghost and at Mohammed Nala, all on X, or go and find us on LinkedIn and pop us a note on there. We hope you've enjoyed this. Until next week, same time, same place. Thanks and cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not financial or investment advice. Please speak to your personal financial advisor.